Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. We're going to read verses 32 through 36 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 11, verses 32 through 36. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which were with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And let's finish on verse 36 together. Ready? Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And let's pray. Father, thank you that you do love us. Lord, this morning I believe you were so happy with what happened here on this property. 106 people walking these aisles to trust you as their Savior. Lord, I believe you looked down and said that's what you had in mind for a church. Thank you that we get to be a part of that. Father, please, even though all that happened this morning, we still stand before you needy. Lord, we need you in a special way. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I feel almost a little silly. We've had such a dynamic day. We've had such a victorious day. We've had such a wonderful, wonderful, uplifting day, and now I'm going to talk to you about something that would probably not fit into that category. I call this sermon, The Bible's Smallest Verse is Not So Small. Smallest verse in the Bible is John 11:35. Jesus wept. Oh, what a small verse, but oh, what a powerful revelation. What a powerful truth. Please, as I talk about that verse for a little while, stay with me. You'll have to pay attention on purpose. My delivery will not demand your attention tonight. Your character will deliver the attention if you have it, so please listen. In Psalm chapter 6, verse number 6, David said, I water my couch with my tears. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 1, Jeremiah said, Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears. In Acts chapter 20, verse 19, Paul said, Serving the Lord with many tears and temptations. May I stop here and say something to you? As we serve God, there are times where it's electrifying. There are times when it's dynamic. There are times when it's exciting. But we all know there are times when there are tears. And that's the way that God planned it. It's not all hoopla all the time. Hey, it's not victory 24 hours a day. Indeed, we're on the winning side. We know that. We have victory in Jesus. But let's face it, there are dark times. There are difficult times. In Psalm chapter 42, verse number 3, the psalmist said, My tears have been my meat day and night. In Lamentations chapter 2, verse 18, the writer said, Let tears run down like a river. Esau wept when Jacob stole his blessing. Jacob and Esau both wept when they were reunited after 20 years of being apart. Joseph wept when he saw his brothers who had many years before sold him into slavery. David and Jonathan wept as they parted, perhaps for the last time. Saul wept when David spared his life outside a wilderness camp. Peter wept after denying the Lord. David wept at the grave of Abner. Great politicians weep. If you look into history, during the Civil War, when our country was divided, it was said that time and time again, Abraham Lincoln would be found in his private chamber weeping puddles of tears. Oh, for a president like that again in our country. Great athletes weep. It was Babe Ruth Day at Yankee Stadium, and 60,000 people were in attendance. The Babe was eaten up with cancer, a mere shadow of the powerful man that he once was. He spoke to the crowd, and the tears flowed freely throughout that stadium that day. Lou Gehrig, called the Iron Man Lou, a first baseman, I think he played first base, for the New York Yankees. He had to retire early due to a fatal disease that was named after him. The crowd gave him a standing ovation as he made his retirement speech, and not a dry eye in that stadium. Even soldiers weep. In 1948, General Patton, old blood and guts himself, was honored at a dinner in Boston, Massachusetts. When he stood to be honored, the applause was deafening. He bowed to the crowd as tears escaped his war-torn eyes. I've studied the great Christians of history. I've studied the great people of history. Without fail, all of them had hearts of compassion. When I read and study of the great men of God in history, all men had brokenness and tears and compassion and a tender heart. And I found this also, they wept without shame and openly. In America today, it seems as all there's not much balance. On one side, you have the liberal, lovey-dovey, you know, compromising, pussy-footing, back-scratching, ear-tickling kind of person, you know, let's anything go. That preacher that lets the world go to hell and lets young people live like animals, and there's no standards or convictions or backbone, there's no judgment, there's no stand against corruption, and they do it all in the name of love. And then on the other hand, you have the preacher that preaches judgment, but he's hateful while he does it. He's angry, he's cold, he's hard, he's mean. He talks of love, and you know, I've seen this. I've watched preachers preach and talk of love, and they had a hard time convincing me they meant it while they said it. He preaches hell with dry eyes. I had a peer once who said this to me. We were talking, and in the midst of the talk, my heart broke, and I began to weep. Later on, he said, "I see that as weakness. You'll have to strengthen that." And I thought, "No, sir, your weakness is the lack of your tears. I see in the Bible my Jesus was a man's man. But may I say tonight, Jesus wept. Jesus is my pattern. There are many great men about whom I would like to pattern my life, but none greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it is that to be like Jesus, I will have to go through trials and tribulation, and if God wants to soften my heart, I want to be like Jesus, so be it, because I want to be like Him." He was our pattern. For whatever it was that Jesus wept, then I think that you and I should weep for the same cause. Stay with me for just a little while. You see, the smallest verse in the Bible is not so small. I see here that Jesus wept over death. John 11:35 said Jesus wept. Jesus knelt at the grave of Lazarus. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. Now, I want you to get something here. Jesus knew that in a moment he would say to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." He knew that Lazarus was at that moment in paradise. He knew that Lazarus was not in hell. He could smell the four-day-old dead body, and he knew that he would raise that body from the grave, but he wept anyway. Why? Because death broke his heart. Death was an issue that moved Jesus to tears. I'll be so careful, but I want to say, Brother Christman, I'm glad you're here tonight. The whole Christman family, his wife, Mama, went to be with the Lord. You know, Buck and I were at the funeral home the other night, and we had a moment alone, and we wept together. We wept. Why? Because death ought to cause that to happen. Folks, don't be so hard. Don't be so hard that death does not bring that tenderness and that compassion. I heard a story once. A man and his son came upon a very tragic automobile accident. And there were many deaths as a result of it. They pulled their car over and they raced to see what assistance they could be. They helped all that they could. And when all the emergency personnel arrived, the dad and his boy had done what they could, and this little boy and dad went back and got in the car and started back into their journey. The boy was weeping, and his eyes had stained his face with tears. And the dad said to the boy, "Son, you lay down there on the back seat and go to sleep." They kept driving, and dad could hear his son in the back seat weeping. And the dad said, "Son, you go to sleep now." The boy kept whimpering and weeping, and he could hear a very faint voice from the back seat. And the little boy said, "Daddy, when men die, do you sleep or do you weep?" And the dad pulled the car over and crawled into the back seat and wept with his son. My friend, death ought to touch our heart. It did the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus wept. Lost people are dying and going to hell. Shall we sleep or shall we weep? The backslidden are dying. Shall we sleep or shall we weep? People die today from drunk driving accidents on our highways. Do we sleep or do we weep? People die today from their drug overdoses. Shall we sleep or shall we weep? People die from sexually transmitted diseases today. Shall we sleep or shall we weep? I was recently counseling with someone, and their grandchild had passed away. I didn't mean to be overly inquiring. I did not know that grandchild. And I said to the grandmother, I said, "Ma'am, from what did your grandchild pass away?" And the grandmother put her hands in her face. She said, "From AIDS." I didn't know what to say. A child. I couldn't come up with any words. And I just broke down. I said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know what to say." And she said, "Brother Owens, you're saying it. You're saying it. People die today from the consequences of sin. Do we sleep or do we weep? People die from the hatred that is produced from an evil heart. Will we sleep or will we weep? People die today from the rage of others. Do we sleep or will we weep? People die from natural causes. Do we sleep or do we weep?" I recommend to everyone here, when we lose our loved ones, weeping is a part of the process. It's good for you to weep. You ought to weep. You ought to miss them. Let the pressure off. Go ahead, weep and miss them. And don't be ashamed of it. I'm going to tell some of you men something. Some of you men are going to have to learn to let some tears come out of your eyes. You're going to blow up and you're going to be harsh and mean. And it's all going to boil inside you. You're going to hurt your testimony or hurt yourself someday. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. It's okay. It's okay. Death should break our hearts. David wept at the death in the grave of Abner. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 3:32, "And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his eyes and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept." Mary wept at the death in the tomb of Jesus Christ. John chapter 20, verse 11, it says, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." I remember my pastor of 18 years. I expected him to live on for many, many years to come. And I remember when he passed away. I remember how my heart was broken, but embarrassingly so. I had to hold in so much of it because I needed to help lead a church that they were not ready for their pastor to pass away. See, I'm talking about a man that suddenly passed away that was, to me, in a prime. And he passed away, and I had to speak at the funeral and help organize and plan and hold everything together. If you can imagine, if I passed away tomorrow, there'd be a lot that had to be done to keep this church going. And I was participating in keeping things going, and we made it through. And I remember one day going home. My wife was sitting on the couch, and I just inside, I began to break. I went over and I got on the floor and I laid my face in my wife's lap and I just fell apart for a little while. I thank God for her. I remember she was rubbing the back of my head saying, honey, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I hope your heart is tender. I hope that we don't forget. I look around this great church and I know we've had busy days and I realize that we have a conference upcoming, but somehow in my heart I wanted to remind all of you, folks, we've been through a lot around here. I mean, in the last 6 years, so many of the people that we love have gone on before. Let's not forget it. Let's not forget while we're having these big dynamic days and everything's happening, there are people that still are crying themselves to sleep at night because their husband, their wife, or their child has passed away. Somehow I kind of wanted to bring us to a screeching halt tonight to remind us that Jesus wept. I want to say, I got to thinking about our men that work at the funeral homes. We've got a handful of men that work at the funeral homes. Let me tell you, men that do that, I thank God for you. Thank God for what you do. But do something. Don't let death make you hard. Don't let it make you hard. Let it make you soft. Let it make you soft. I say to you, first of all, this evening, if I could, and please, please remember that Jesus wept over death. And that which our Savior wept over, I think it's a good idea that you and I follow His pattern. Secondly, I think I see that Jesus wept over sin. In Luke 13:34, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing, and you would not. You see, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus' heart is broken over Jerusalem. He tried to bring them back to Him, but here the Bible says they had actually killed the preachers, the prophets. They had stoned them. They rejected them. And then you find out some verses later in Luke 19:41, it says, And when He was come near, He beheld the city, and He wept over it. The other day I was driving through downtown Martinsburg. It's my town. It's the city God's given me. And I seen a couple people sitting on the street. And they were dirty. And they were street people. And I stopped and I thought, Lord, those are my people. I'm going to try to figure out a way to reach them. Folks, listen. Jesus wept over a city. Someone told me that the Census Bureau says there are about somewhere between 14 and 15,000 people in our city. We've got to reach them. We've got to reach them. You know, that means that about 1 out of 11 people in our city, if attendance-wise, was here this morning. And we're doing it. See, how are we going to reach them? We won't reach them with hard hearts. We won't reach them if when they walk in the back door, they're dirty and unkept and you reject them. You know, there are some people that didn't have a mom and dad to teach them. I've seen a man in our service this morning. He had a pair of what do they call those things that they wear on their feet? Thongs, is that what they are? Dirty, nasty. His feet were dirty. He had no socks on. His toenails, I'm not trying to be gross, were yellowed and nasty looking. I looked down at his feet and I thought, somebody probably looked at that and were disgusted. I looked at it and I thought, look at these shoes that I have on. And that sin does that to a grown man that comes in off the street and he doesn't have a job and he doesn't have money. That's what sin will do to you. The Bible says that Jesus said, I tried to gather the people from that city and they would not. They would not. What's that mean? They rejected Him. And sin rejects the success of God. Do you weep over the sins of our nation? Do you weep? 2 weeks ago in men's prayer meeting before the election, I promise you, all the men, we got on our faces. And I prayed for the election. And I prayed for our country. And any man that was there would tell you, my heart was so heavy and broken. And I cried out to God and I said, God, Moses came to you on behalf of the children of Israel, and I come to you. I'm no Moses, but I love America. And God, please, don't let our country go down the tubes. Do you weep over the sin of our country? Do you weep over the sin of abortion, the dead children and the scarred mothers? Do you weep over the drunk driving deaths? Do you weep over the pride that blinds the eyes of people that reject the goodness of God? Do you weep over the murder in our country? Do you weep over the lies and the evil deception that destroys hearts and ruins people? Do you weep over the divorce rate in America and the broken homes, the stealing and the theft? Do you weep over the hungry? I'm so excited. This Thanksgiving service, some people have helped me. We're going to feed a lot of people. I can't wait. I can't wait, Brother Bajan, to give all those turkeys away. I can't wait. Do you weep? You say, Brother Owens, America's in a financial catastrophe. America is still the healthiest and the wealthiest country on the face of the earth. Other countries would eat the garbage that you flush down your toilet. Do you weep over the evil plots that cause disunity and fear among the people? Do you weep over the churches that close down because people don't want revival? Do you weep over the churches where the people don't want revival anymore? How about do you weep over our drug-addicted society? You say, I'm against it! Are you against it enough to weep? Have you ever wept over your own sin? I would not say it. I've scanned the crowd tonight, and I hope that I don't embarrass someone, but I'll tell you something. I preached this morning. The invitation was given. I watched an adult walk the aisle and get on their face. I thought that they were getting saved, but they were not. They were getting right with God. And I watched them at this old-fashioned altar. When they got up, there were wet spots at the altar where they were confessing their sin. Do you weep over sin? Peter wept. Mark 14:72, it says, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. When he thought thereon, he wept. You see, Jesus had predicted that Peter would become disloyal and deny him. And Peter did. And the minute Peter heard that old cock crow, Peter's heart broke and he said, I did it. I sinned against him. He had told me I was going to. I should have had the good sense not to. But I thank God he had the good sense to weep at his sin. Does God see real remorse in your life when you sin? Does your sin break your heart? I know it does the heart of God. Does sin bother you? Jesus wept over the sins of Jerusalem. One of the reasons why we're having an Old Paths conference here in the next few days is we would love to help churches to understand you're supposed to hate sin. But you're supposed to love people. Churches have got to get it. We've got churches that are virtually hateful, representing Jesus, and then we've got churches that don't love, or they're wishy-washy and they don't have what they ought to have. Please, understand, the smallest verse in the Bible, it's not so small. Jesus wept over death. Jesus wept over sin. And I'm almost done. Jesus wept over his people. Matthew 23:37, the Bible says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would have I gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wing. Jesus expressed a tender desire to love and to help people. He didn't weep just over sin. He didn't weep just over death. Notice the tender relationship that Jesus wanted to have with people. He wanted to pull people gently toward him. And he wept over people. He said gathering them like a hen would gather her chicks, like a mama would gather her little toddler. See, he was on a mountaintop looking down upon a city full of people. And whatever made him weep broke his heart. May I ask you a question? Do you weep for others? You see, you're not so special if you weep for yourself. Because weeping for yourself, that's somewhat easy. Will you shed a tear for the Christmas family? Will you? For whom do you weep? Do you weep for others? There are a couple of families in our church. And it's nobody's business who. But unless something miraculous happens, they'll probably lose their homes because of the economy. But I'll promise those families, I have laid on my office floor and begged God to save your home. I mean, wept. I said, God, if that were my house, I would want someone to care. I was on my floor the other day and I was praying for the people that are struggling to make their mortgage payments. I said, God, if I had the money, I would give it. I don't. But I've got you. And I'm begging you. I'm begging you, please help us. That may not affect you because you're not losing your house. Do you weep for the student that's been in trouble at school or criticized? Do you weep for the lost? Do you weep for the forsaken? A man from out of town called me this week. He said, Brother Owens, I never wanted to make a call like this, but you promised me a long time ago if I ever needed you to call you. I said, what's up, Doc? He said, my wife ran off with a man from the church. I'm glad he couldn't see me. I could hardly take it. He said, Brother Owens, what am I going to do? I said, Doc, I'm going to stick with you. We're going to make it through this. We'll try to find her. I'll try to get her home to you. Now, since you have your wife and you have your husband, that may not move you much. But Jesus wept for others. Jesus wept for the diseased and the lonely. You know, David wept for his children. The Bible says David wept over his child while his child was yet alive. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 12:22, and he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? Let me tell you something. You go to their ball games, and I'm glad you do. But can I tell you something that's probably more powerful than going to their ball games? Do you weep for your children? You monitor their grades, and you should. But do you weep for your children? You take them hunting, and you should. But do you weep for your children? You give them cell phones and computer games and keep them happy. But do you weep for your children? If you don't weep while you have them, you will weep later on. The smallest verse in the Bible is really not so small. Jesus wept over death. Jesus wept over sin. And Jesus wept over people. And I decided a long time ago, I wanted to be like Jesus. Let's all decide. I know we've had exciting times and exciting days, and we're about to launch a bombastic conference. But let's not forget, there are those that will weep in the shadows. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus wept.